found myself talking about the very first Tabernacles that we celebrated this week to a pastor and at the Y. And I had requested from Pastor Gino the permission to celebrate the feast. And obviously, it was just a harvest feast, and we had asked all the people to just bring in whatever they could or would, that the Lord would speak to them, and to bring it and share it with the people. It could be an heirloom, it could be something that was very precious to them, it could be a plant, it could be whatever, it could be a table, it could be a nightstand, it could be whatever, it could be a tablecloth, it could be whatever was laid on their hearts. You brought that incredible lamp.
Oh, yeah.
And we cried when we lit it. The altar, of course, was huge. And I remember Gino walking out, and he happened to stare me eyeball to eyeball because he had no clue what God was going to do. And it was on a Friday night. And he stepped next to the organ to step up. The house lights were very low. There were many candles lit. And the altar was loaded with flowers, blossoms, you name it. Everything was there. Antique pieces. Some of it was even stemware. It was everything different. There was no two things alike. And the people were awestruck at what God had provided from them. Everything had a purpose and a reason, and we had told them they could take it home after the feast. And when we got off the altar that night, and Gino looked at me and he says, "I had no idea what God could do through his people." I says, "That's what you've been preaching for years. The power's out there, not here." And I said, "What you've seen now is a manifestation of what the people can give of themselves. It's not always monetary. Monetary might be the ability that you have, but your ability." And I remember this one particular lady. She came from the Forest Park section. She walked in, and I'll never forget it. She had called ahead. "Kim, I'm coming over. Are you going to be there?" "Yeah. Meet me at the side door, blah, 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 and I will be there." She had a station wagon, and she had brought this incredible plant. I'm not exaggerating. It was this high, and it was at least, I'm guessing, 3.5 feet wide, loaded with blossoms. And she says, "All I know is I saw it at the foot of the altar," and it was so intense. And she says, "I saw it when I was driving by a flower shop, and it was in their window." She says, "And don't ask me what I paid for it, but it costs a lot." And I said, "Well, unquestionably." She said, "But God told me he needed to have his best from me." And I looked at her and I said, "This is putting your heart in front of the altar, isn't it?" And she started to cry. She says, "I've never had the privilege of giving him something special." She says, "And this came from him showing me what he thinks of me. And that blossom is me." And I was just ready. I hugged her. It was a moment to remember. So don't underestimate your obedience when you come to the feast. Your obedience may seem to you like nothing when you do it, but the benefits are heavenly. And that's just an example of what he can do with you and me. Now I want to take you on a very short trip. Tonight, if you look at what the feast should be, I'm just going to give you a very short version of the Day of Atonement in Numbers chapter 29. On the 10th day of this seventh month, hold a sacred assembly. That's Numbers 29, verse 7. Hold a sacred assembly. You must deny yourself and do no work. Present as an aroma passing to the Lord a burnt offering of one young bull, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old, all without defect. With the bull, prepare a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With the ram, 2/10, and with each of the seven lambs, 1/10. Include one male goat as a sin offering. In addition to the sin offering for atonement and the regular burnt offering with its grain offerings and drink offerings. You say, why all this? Because that was the law. You're not under the law today. You are under the covenant of grace. You have come out of the law, and you've been set free to obey Him. Now, if you look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, it says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, not to come. See, by the new covenant, it's already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Did you notice it's eternal redemption? It's not part-time for a year. The blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death. I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to repeat that. Say, Lord, your blood through the eternal Spirit was offered for me to cleanse me, to cleanse my conscience of acts that lead to death. So that I may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. I stress, eternal inheritance. About this time next year. Ah, the scripture says now, but you see, the mind of the religious folks, of God's people, were so ingrained in the old covenant that they wanted to keep the old law. Just so they could have their celebrations. How many like to celebrate their birthday every year? Except when you get to a certain age. Way back there was a hand that went up. Yes. Until you get to be 18. Then by 28, you just, oh, wait a minute, let's stop this. This is silly, right? But the word says eternal inheritance now. That he has died as a ransom to set me free. Well, what are we doing bound? What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing trying to live under the old when the new is already here? Amen? Free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Wow. Free. Try it on. Now I'm free. Because he died. As a ransom. To set me free from the sins committed Under the first covenant.
Under the first covenant.
Hallelujah. He's also made you a kingdom of priests. And you'll find that in Peter, 1 Peter. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise to Him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such a good life among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. When's that day? How about today? Amen. See, a kingdom of priests, that's what He's looking to create. And He's already done it. We just need to start manifesting it. And you're not going to be able to do it without grace. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I'm going to declare that I am a priest in the order of Christ, which is the order
of Melchizedek.
He set me free.
I'm already free.
And now I need the grace
to walk in it
with a knowing
that I am holy in His
sight.
And I need to begin
to see myself
as God sees me.
As my Savior,
keeps defending
who I am
to my Father
every time
I fail.
So I can look at the cross
and say thank you
for what you've done for me.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for what you've done for me.
He has done great things for me.
Lift your hand.
He has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. Bless His holy name.
Would you stand, please?
He has done great things for us. He has done great things for us. He has done great things for us. Bless His holy name.
And now may His anointing take you home safely as you go forward in the new day, because it starts in darkness, but you will not remain in darkness. The new light will bring in awareness of who you are in Christ. And that awareness will give you a new understanding of who you are in yourself as a priest and a king under construction. In Jesus' name, I pray.